Hello and welcome to A Bergkamp Wonderland. I'm Simon Collings and I will be your host for this evening. And I'm joined tonight by two Arsenal legends. First of all, he's the man everyone follows on Twitter. It's Jeff Arsenal. How are we doing, Jeff?
Simon, I'm very well, thank you, mate. And I'm really looking forward to tonight's podcast. It should be interesting. And it's great to have the other chap on with me. I can't wait to introduce him. It's been a while since I've been on.
Yeah, well, let's get straight to it. Our other guest this evening, it's the one and only, it is Dave Gunaholic. How are we doing, Dave?
Oh, brilliant. Thank you, Simon. Good to be back again. Good to be with you again. And really good to be working with the gentleman that is Jeffrey again. Knows his onions, does Jeff.
David, you're a gentleman too, mate. Honestly, you really are. And it's great to be on with you.
Good. Well, I think we're going to have a good one tonight. So let's get straight into the weekend. Blackpool in the FA Cup, a 3-0 win on Saturday night. We'll come to you first, Dave. There was quite a few changes made by Unai Emery, six initially, and then a seventh one enforced because of Lauren Koscielny having to come off and not start the game. What did you make of it?
I thought the original side that he'd selected was probably the right one. He'd gone for a little bit more experience at the back. I would personally have gone with Carl Jenkinson rather than Lichtsteiner anyway on recent form. But once he came in, when Laurent did his back, I thought they played them the wrong way round. I thought Jenko might have done a better job in the centre of the defence and have Lichtsteiner out on the right. But that's, you know, it's easy to say with the benefit of hindsight, isn't it? The rest of the side, I thought he got it absolutely right. And what was to transpire over the next 90 minutes proved that he got it right.
Yeah, and there's a lot of players in this team, Jeff, who, for all intents and purposes, could not, you know, in 6 months' time, they might not be here. You've got the likes of Petr Cech, Carl Jenkinson, Aaron Ramsey. What did you make of the likes of Cech and Jenkinson? And in terms of them going forward, do you see them as squad players at Arsenal? Or do you think this is the last time we're seeing some of these guys?
I think Petr Cech will maybe see his contract out and see his career out at Arsenal. You know, I don't really know where he's going to go. You know, I don't think he's going to go to another top flight club, so to speak. He's getting on a bit now. I think the bones are creaking a little bit. And he's not first choice at Arsenal. I don't think he should be at the moment, especially the way we play, where we need to play at the back. It's like teaching an old dog new tricks. It's very difficult. It's not Cech's fault, but it's just the way the game has evolved nowadays. And he's not that good on the ball, so he's going to struggle. Jenko, it's a strange one with Jenko because, you know, I mean, he had a decent start when he first came in, and then I think he got roasted a couple of times in a couple of games, and I don't think he's ever recovered from that. He had a terrible injury. He was out for about a year, wasn't he? And ever since he'd come back, you know, when I watch him, I've watched every single, I go to the Carabao Cup games and the Europa League games when he's played, and every time I see him, he looks like he's terrified. He's scared of getting the football. And when he gets it, all he does, he just wants to pass it nice and simple. There's nothing coming from him. Now, the lad's got great pace. He's tall and he's very athletic. I'm just really surprised. Maybe he needs a break and he needs to go somewhere else, get some confidence. I don't think he's got a future at Arsenal Football Club, to be honest with you. Which is a shame because I do think there's a good player in him. But again, you know, when you get to that elite level, it is all about that last 10 or 15% is about your confidence. If you're flying with confidence and you can believe in yourself, you can make it. But unfortunately, I don't think he's got that. And I think we had the same with Theo, I was explaining before, you know. But apart from that, I mean, I love Ainsley Maitland-Niles. I think he's got a big future at the club. Mo Elneny, I don't know what. I like him. He's a squad player. You know, he's never going to set the world alight. But, you know, he don't really let you down. He don't never let you down. Again, he's another one that passes it sideways. But good player, you know. But, you know, really overall, I think it was a good win. A 3-0 away from home, what could be a banana skin. And if you remember the Carabao Cup when we played them, when Guendouzi got sent off, for the last 15 minutes, 20 minutes, they was having a right go at us, mate, and I thought we was going to, you know, they might have equalised, you know. But overall, it was a good win. I don't think you look too much into it, but, you know, we got through to the next round. That's the main thing.
Yeah, and some of the young players, I mean, Willett was obviously the main one who caught the eye, for me anyway, Dave. He's someone, I think, when he came through about 2 years ago, the impression that Wenger had with him was that he was going to be this sort of deep line playmaker, someone who plays in front of the back four, neat and tidy. But Emery, certainly in the Europa League and on Saturday, had him further forward, and he scored two goals, could have had a hat-trick apart from being offside. What have you made of him, Dave? And do you think long-term he could have a future Arsenal? Because when I first saw him, I thought he was a bit lightweight and I wasn't sure he was going to quite cut it. But now I'm sort of changing my mind on him.
Yeah, I think that's probably a fair comment, Simon. He doesn't appear, or didn't appear to have made a great deal of progress over the last couple of years. So it was, you're not seeing an improvement in him until this weekend. And I think Unai Emery has kind of used him much as he would have liked to have used Danny Welbeck if he were around. So he's kind of that left-sided attacker, not an out-and-out winger, but he gives us some width. And I thought he did very well on Sunday. And I wonder how much of that was down to the fact that he had a lot of familiar players around him, some more of the youngsters who are making a name for themselves or not. It was unfortunate, I thought, that as well as he did, that Eddie Nketiah didn't take any of the three chances that he had, because there is a player where I think most would love to succeed, especially the way he introduced himself in the League Cup last year with a goal with his first touch. I think people were thinking the number of goals he was scoring in the under-23s, that he was possibly the next one off the production line. And now he also is showing that he no great deal of improvement. So yes, Joe Willock looks stronger, looks to be a different type of player, and I think he might well have a future, but so much will depend on where we want to play Reece Nelson if he's recalled next season, as is likely, I would have thought.
Yeah, I mean, what do you make of Nketiah, Dave? Because as you say, in the under-23s, everyone had this big reputation. Arsenal got him from Chelsea. But for me, he looks really, really short on confidence. And it'd be nice for him to get a loan, but I'm guessing with Welbeck out, we can't really loan him out.
No, I think that's probably right. And it may well be that he is a confidence player, and we've got one or two of those. Jeff was talking about Carl Jenkinson. If you remember, when Hector Bellerin had an extended spell out the side when he rolled his ankle, Carl Jenkinson actually looked very good because he was playing week in, week out, and he got that confidence. And he doesn't look to be the sort of player who can come in, play a game here, play a game there, and then drop out again. So, like Jeff, I wonder whether he's got a future, but I've meandered away from the original question. I hope that Eddie is a confidence player and that the next goal he gets in a first-team shirt kicks him off again, because he certainly had he earned his reputation in the under-23s.
Yeah, it's true. You know, and I was so disappointed that he had three, you know what, any decent centre forward, you got to stick at least one of them away. And he had three really, really good chances. He could have had a hat trick himself. And I was disappointed that he didn't score any of them. And you know, like I said, it was quite easy. And if you're going to play for a top club like Arsenal, you have got to when you get a chance like that, you've got to stick them away, because then you get a chance in the first team in the big games. But so I'm a little bit concerned. Apart from that, his pace, his runs off the ball. His movement's really good. You know, he's very athletic, and he holds the ball up. He's got good technique. But, you know, again, if he's going to play as a centre forward, you've got to bang goals in, mate. You know, you can be half a decent player. As long as you score the goals, you'll get a good living out of the game. And talking about Joe Willock, listen, we've seen so many players of this type. You know, I'm thinking about like Jeff Renadadade. He had so much promise when he came in a couple of years ago. And I see that Joe Willock is similar to that. And I just hope that he doesn't really go down the same road as Ren Adelaide, because we haven't really seen much of him. Great on the ball, you know, very fluid, great ability. Let's just hope he can improve. And he does improve. It'd be a decent player for Arsenal, won't he? Well, his brother. Did his brother leave the club? Is it Chris?
Benfica.
Yeah, Benfica. Yeah. His other ones at United. Yeah.
Sold or on loan or something?
He went sold.
Run out of contract?
Yeah, I think we got compensation or something minimal.
I got you. Because I fancied him that Chris Willock. He was a winger, wasn't he?
Yeah, he's the strongest of the three of them.
Yeah, he looks a decent prospect, that kid. I was really disappointed when he left. I thought that's why I asked whether he went on loan or not. It's strange. So he obviously his contract was out, and he's gone to Benfica, has he?
Yeah. The thing I like with Willock is just the fact that he seems to have his head completely turned mentally, and the way he performs very switched on. And there's a lovely piece. It's in all the newspapers. I think he spoke to him after the game on Saturday. But he was talking about his dad, and he's saying how his dad's bought Y Scout, which is like all the football clubs use it. It's basically you get all the data analytics, all the statistics from a performance. And his dad's bought it. And then for all three games, he basically watches back all their sons, gets all the statistics, and basically goes through it with them every game. And I know Willett was saying that's who, the dad says you've played bad or you've played well, that's who he takes it off. And that just the way he spoke about that gives the impression that he's got it switched on, because we've had players with so much talent at Arsenal. I mean, number of academy kids who look good, but you've got to have it mentally. Yeah. And that little insight made me think, you know, maybe he's got it.
Hope so.
You know what? The one I really hope is going to make it is the one that wasn't there on Sunday, Emil Smith Rowe, because he looks like he could be just a wonderful, wonderful footballer. I hope he makes it.
Yeah, I mean, I remember seeing him in Singapore, and he was absolutely fantastic. And speaking to a few of the guys at the club then, they were saying in terms of natural ability, he's one of the best they've had in, you know, 15, 20 years.
He's very strong, strong running with the ball, tricky.
Mm-hmm. Good control.
Yeah, he looks like he's a player that will face up to a fullback or a defender and say, come on in, let's have a race, or, you know, create a trick and have a go. You don't really see that a lot in these young players. But I don't really know what's his best position, is it? He looks like he could be a 10, but then I think he's played out wide as well, isn't he? I don't know. What is his position, Simon? Do you know?
I think if he could play anywhere, I think he'd be a 10, but... You know, the guys were discussing it on the podcast last week, Chris and John, and saying how, you know, it doesn't look like Emery really wants a 10 in this team. But I think if we played the three at the back, I could certainly see Smith Rowe as one of the two off the striker. I think he'd be really, really dangerous there. But as the way, with the age he is, I imagine playing him out wide might just be a bit easier. Just, you know, it's not quite as physical, a bit more space to ease him in. But he's another one, I think, same with Nketiah. If we weren't as stretched with injuries, I'd quite like to get both of them out on loan just for 6 months at a championship club and play every week.
Yeah, it's true. It's very difficult for these, especially forwards. You know, they've got forwards or, you know, a forward-thinking midfield players. It's very, very difficult to get into a club that's fighting for top four places, because you have got to get in, hit the ground running, and like claim your place there and then. That's what I believe. And we have seen so many before, haven't we? They'll get in. You know, they'll have a little run in the team. They'll have a honeymoon period, and then the realization is they've got to turn out performances every single week, and then they seem to drop off a little bit, have a little bit of a mare. And whether or not they can come back after their confidence has been shot a little bit is that's the difference in the players. So that's what I think.
Yeah, well, we'll have a chat on how the season's gone and what we think needs to change in terms of incomings and outgoings, maybe. But just quickly, gents, the draw, obviously, for the fourth round last night. Man United at home. We'll go to you first, Dave. Happy with that? Preferred a smaller team, like having a big game?
The interesting thing is, if you'd asked me that question 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, I'd have said to you, I think it's a great draw, because we would much sooner play someone that we know everything about than play some second division team that we don't know the first thing about, because of the number of shocks that we suffered down the years. Now, I'm not so sure we would have chosen Manchester United in the form that they're in at the moment. But just hoping they get a couple of knocks backs before that game. The other the issue with it is it means that Unai Emery has a decision to make about whether to go with the kids, which he probably can't afford to do, because United, I would think that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer sees this as an ideal opportunity for him to get a trophy on the board and maybe get the job full time. So I think he'll come all guns blazing, and I think we're probably going to have to go close to matching them. Maybe one or two changes, one or two players rested, but no more.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a decision for Unai because, well, it hasn't been decided yet. TV will obviously indicate whether it's the Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But Arsenal got Cardiff on the Tuesday night, and then they've got Man City on the Sunday of that week. So
yeah, they can't get moved to the Wednesday either because Tottenham are at home on the Wednesday. Yeah, so I think Sunday's ruled out. It's either going to be Friday night or Saturday.
Yeah, and it's going to be a decision about how strong a team he goes with, whether he prioritises the league in that fourth spot or whether he fancies going for a cup. Jeff, what would you do, and what do you think Unai will do in terms of selection for that United game?
I just think he'll match him up. I think he'll go full blast. I really do. I think Dave's right in what he's saying with regard to Solskjaer putting out a strong team, because he'll try and get, I think that he'll aim at that as a trophy. He'll try and get that trophy. I don't think they've obviously got no chance in the league, quite much like us. So I think the FA Cup will be something that he'll have a go at. I think he'll send a proper team out, and I think our man will do exactly the same. When the draw was made, I mean, it was unbelievable to wait, wasn't it? Just waiting to see who come out. I'm glad it wasn't Tottenham, though, I've got to be honest with you. And when it come out, although obviously you try and avoid the top teams, if you really want to see a spectacle, it's a fantastic game, isn't it? An FA Cup game. I was delighted that we come out of the hat first. That gives us a little bit of a better chance. But you know these FA Cup games, you never know what's going to happen. If it was it's a different proposition if you was playing them at Old Trafford, though, because we have in recent years, we I think when Danny Welbeck knocked him out, was it last year or the year before? We've had a run up there, but over the last 10 years, we've struggled at Old Trafford, haven't we? And got a couple of drubbings up there, but it's a good draw, and you know you have got to beat these teams if you're gonna win it. You have got to beat these teams. So look, please God, we'll go on and we'll knock them out.
Yeah, and I think at home I'm quite optimistic and quite confident that we can match any team when we play them at home. So I think it's a pretty good draw, and like you guys, I think he'll go all out for it, and then probably rest players against Cardiff at home midweek, and then back to full strength for City on the Sunday. But we'll move on, guys, to just your thoughts on how the first 6 months of the Unai Emery tenureship's gone, what you've made of it, what you've liked, what you've disliked. So, Dave, give us your thoughts on the first 6 months of having a new manager at Arsenal.
Generally, it's not nothing much has happened that I wouldn't have expected. The one reservation I have about the guy is that I still don't really know what style we are trying to play, because we have installed the high press on occasion. Well, we played the high press under Wenger on occasion, usually just the big matches. But it's not consistent. We don't play consistently at high pace, which was one of the things we were getting frustrated at last year. But I temper that view with the fact that he's still basically working with the same players. I know we've got Socrates out there, and I know we've got the new goalkeeper, Leno. I know that he's got Guendouzi and Torreira, but by and large, he's been restricted by the players he's got, by the fact he's got Ozil there, who he's tried to fit into the team and still, I think, would like to find a way of getting him into that side. But if he's going to play three at the back, then you haven't got room for a number 10. So he's going to have to get used to doing a job out wide, and that means tracking back and all the rest of it. If we go with four at the back, then yes, there is a role for him in the number 10. But he's under pressure there, of course, from Aaron Ramsey, from even, dare I say it, Alex Iwobi, who looks as though he's done a decent job when he's been asked to do it there. And we were talking earlier about Emile Smith Rowe. I think there's another opportunity. But I think we have to find a way of getting him back in, because I don't think anybody's going to take him on the wages that he's on. So we are kind of stuck with him for another, is it another 2 years? So we've got to find a way of making that work. And that's the biggest thing in the first 6 months. I like the fact that he wants to constantly improve us. I like the response of most of the players. But it's still, are we looking to replicate what Manchester City are doing, what Liverpool are doing, or are we just going to be half-hearted about it? In which case, we haven't made a great step forward.
Do you think, Dave, that this an interesting question, is, but could it maybe be that Emery's style will be, in a sense, not having a style in particular, so being tactically versatile in terms of the way we play could change from every game? Or do you think he needs to have a philosophy like Klopp does, like Guardiola does, for it to work?
He's obviously got something about him for all the success that he had back at Sevilla. What he's trying to achieve, though, is not clear. And that's the issue I've got with it. And you might be right. He may be playing different styles depending on the opponent, which would be most un-Wenger-like, because he really did only change once or twice when we had City or Chelsea and United. And he went to that relatively rope-a-dope tactic that worked so well in some of those games. But no, I think Unai... I think he would like us to be following the Guardiola Klopp tradition, but he hasn't got the players to do that yet. Let's not forget that. He needs another couple of windows at least in order to make that team his own.
Jeff, what about you? What have you made of it so far?
You know, I've been quite happy with it, to be perfectly honest with you. In my eyes, I give him a bye the first two games. I mean, Man City and Chelsea, they're two very, very tough openers, and from then I said, well, you know, let's get up to 10 games and we'll see how we're shaping up with regards to the shape and how he's setting them up and stuff like that. And I was quite impressed. And then we went on that unbeaten run. What was it, 22-23? I'm not sure whether it was. There was a lot of teams in that. It was flattering, put it that way. A lot of Carabao Cup and Europa League matches, but I was quite happy with what he was doing. We looked quite fluent. I still don't think he knows what his best team is. I still don't really think he knows what to do with Mesut Ozil. He seems to like Alex Iwobi a lot, which in some of his games have been up and down, you know, his form and stuff. But, you know, overall, I don't think we're a lot better off than when we were in Wenger's worst year, which was, I think, was last year. I think statistically, I don't think we're that much, but points-wise and stuff like that. But what worries me the most is the way we're defending. Arsenal are at their most dangerous for ourselves when we've got the ball in the opposition's final third. Now, we used to see that with Arsenal all the time. You know, but that's not necessarily Unai Emery's fault. He's obviously trying to work the players. He's no doubt coaching them. But, you know, you can only work with what you got. And unfortunately, you know, we've got players that not, you know, not the level of a £75 million Virgil van Dijk or some of the other defenders, £50 million for fullbacks that Man City have paid for. When you're paying that type of money, these players are always switched on. They're proper defenders. They smell danger. And especially when we've got the ball high up the pitch, our defenders do not seem to be able to concentrate and recognise when there's a turnover. You've got to get your shape straight away and get in the right position. You know, Mustafi, he's continuously trying to play the offside trap, you know, and when he's not in line. But overall, I'm going to keep on. We're going to run with it and see how he goes. Hopefully, he'll sign a couple of players in the this window that's open now, and a couple of proper defenders. So I think that's what we need. Proper defenders that understand the game. Obviously, I was disappointed. I mean, he brought four players, I think he brought in. I think Guendouzi, he's a brilliant, brilliant prospect. I think he's got a future at the club. Torreira, again, although I was disappointed with him at Liverpool, the way he performed under pressure. Socrates, he's okay. I'm not sure he's going to... But I'm not sure him and Lichtsteiner are going to be in... And Kolasinac, really, are going to be in a team, an Arsenal team, that really, really does have a go at winning either the Champions League or the Premier League. I really don't think they're good enough. So we do need some better defenders. And it's really much like the same we've been saying for the last 5-6 years. That's the only thing. But give him time. I'd give him, to be honest with you, I would give him... Unless we drop out of the sky, I would give him the full 3 years and see how we're getting on with it. Let him build a team.
Do you think the thing is, Jeff, as well, that you touched there on City and Liverpool, the amount of money certainly City have got, they can buy a player, like with Bravo, perfect example. They buy Bravo, give him a season and go, oh, no, that's not worth it. Let's just go buy another keeper. Yeah. Arsenal can't afford to get it wrong when they go and buy. And it's a bit like with Ozil now, where... Mm-hmm. They're basically stuck with Ozil whether they like it or not. So he's got to find a solution to using him.
Exactly. Well, they can do that. They can stop players. They can just spend the money and they'll have a punt on them. Punts at 30 and 40 and 50 million pound. I think they paid 30 odd million pound for Mangala, was it? They paid 30 million pound for Wilfred Boney in a Christmas window, wasn't it? I think one time. You know, and sometimes I think that is part of their tactic as well, i.e., they don't want to improve other teams, and other teams might want that player as well. So they said, well, we'll nick him. We'll have a go with him, see what he's like. But that's what you can do when you've got money and there's no, there's a correlation in how much you spend and where you are placed in the league from top to bottom, all across the leagues. And unfortunately, and this is what I was saying earlier on, if you're paying £75 million for a Virgil van Dijk, you know he's a proper player. He's switched on. You see him, he's maybe the best defender in the world at the moment, isn't he? But that's why he's £75 million. Arsenal, unfortunately, we haven't got the personnel and we haven't got the players. That last 10% I was talking about, they're just switched on. They know, they can smell danger. And when you're defending, you've got to be able to do it right. Otherwise, generally, if you make a ricket, it's a goal.
Yeah, and that, to be fair, that was the thing with City. And certainly in the early years, the 2009-10, where they basically looked at Arsenal and looked at Villa, the two teams who were going for the top four, and said, look, let's just go and buy all their best players. Yep. And in the same way, you weaken, you strengthen yourselves and you weaken your rivals in one hit, and they could just hoover up all the players.
Exactly. So, yeah, exactly. I think they took four or five of our players over 18 months or 2 years. Touré,
Adebayor, Clichy, Nasri,
If you think about that side, that was a side that was really on the brink of doing big things. Adebayor was scoring 25, 30 goals a season, wasn't he? Nasri, Touré, Gal Clichy. They're five of our... They was in the first team, them guys. They're first team players. And they ripped it all to shreds. And the next year we lost Cesc, didn't we? The year after we lost Van Persie, and it all went to pot from there. And here we are.
Yeah, here we are. Dave, what are you hoping for in this window? Obviously, we've seen the reports from Ornstein, from other people saying there's not much money to spend. What are you hoping for? And what do you think realistically the club can do in terms of arrivals in this window?
If Ornstein is saying there's no money, and that begs the question, what has happened to the money? Now, it is suggested by people, allegedly, that Stan is using the club's money to fund his purchase of shares or to finance the debt that he took on to purchase the shares from Usmanov. And if that's happening, then we're not going to have much money to spend for a while yet. You've got the 60 million coming in from Adidas next year, which hopefully will help a little bit. That means this January, our hands are tied. You have to hope you can find quality players who are not Europa League cup tied, who clubs are willing to let go out on loan. And so, although you'll have people mocking the thought of taking Gary Cahill, for example, for 6 months, You're not going to tell me he's not going to improve that back four as it stands. I don't think he'll be in the side once Rob Holding comes back to full fitness, but for now he would be an improvement. Similarly with Dennis Suarez, if you have an opportunity to move Aaron Ramsey for some money in January, then Dennis Suarez on loan makes perfect sense. And I see today there's somebody had written that Barcelona are considering letting come on loan as long as there is a guaranteed £20 million fee at the end of the year. If that is the case, then I think there's a good chance we could get Suarez in if we can move Aaron on. But if we end up with Aaron staying here, I would use him full pelt for 6 months. I hope he doesn't get injured for his sake. But we want to use him because he's one of the better midfielders at the club.
I've been saying for a while now, as an Arsenal fan, you really, really do now need to lower your expectations, because we have an owner that has got a history in other sports, in other sports clubs, where he doesn't really pump any money into it. He's never pumped any money into Arsenal. I think we are. I saw a stat from Swiss Ramble, I think it was last week, that Simon, you must really read it more than me. That we're the only club in the Premier League that hasn't had that the owner hasn't pumped money into
transfer. Zero investment from the owner.
Now, that tells you something. He's not going to change. This guy is not going to change. And I remember saying about 2 years ago, Arsenal fans really do need to lower their expectations, because he's got to a situation where we knew that financial fair play wasn't going to happen. Nobody believed in it apart from Arsenal. It appeared like that. And I think we've been a little bit unlucky. If that could have happened, they could have brought that in find teams, or maybe not find it, but drop points. And if that could have happened, then we might have had a chance. Now, I know you've got teams like Leicester that do come through. You do get teams that do come through, but that'll happen every 20 or 30 years or something. But at that time, I said, listen, now is the time. He's either got to put up or shut up and leave, because if he doesn't put the money in, we're just going to be a cup team. And unfortunately, in my eyes, it's sad, but I think that's what we are at the moment. And like you said, we're going to be a team that's, we'd be tinkering, we'd be trying to nick players from, you know, like a KU or something here and there to see us through and maybe win a few cups on the way.
Is the big issue now, though, Jeff, that we obviously don't see the accounts, there's no AGM, so we're not going to have, the fans are not going to have any idea for the foreseeable future exactly what Stan Kroenke is doing with his money.
Yeah, but it doesn't really make any difference. I don't think he's going to put any money in the club. And I still don't think he's going to sell the club. He's got any interest in selling the club, you know. It's worth a lot of money now, Arsenal Football Club, but it'd be worth more money if he can get us back into the Champions League. And to get us back in the Champions League, it's quite clear that he needs to spend money. Is he going to spend that money? Because Hollick there said that, all right, we've got a big Adidas deal coming through next year, but so will other teams, and other teams next year will have more money. So everyone's getting a slice of the cake. The people that are spending the most money, buying the best players, they're going to get the biggest trophies. It's as simple as that.
Don't you think, though, Jeff? Because it looks as though the way we're setting up now upstairs in Highbury House, as though we're possibly following the Dortmund model, where we are looking to recruit cheap and sell big. And that's an area where we were chronically mismanaged in the last decade. And if you can buy the right players, as they have done fairly consistently in recent years, there's that hope still there that we can still be competitive, we can still be challenging at the right end of the table. I agree with you, we're only a cup side until we prove otherwise. But it looks to me as though, although I don't know what Unai Emery's vision is, I do see the vision of the club from directors down.
Well, you're right. But, you know, the problem is, so when Arsene came in, he obviously had that French football sewn up and Africa.
Absolutely.
He had it all sewn up and it was different back in the day.
George Graham with all the second and third division players.
Exactly, yeah, because you know where you've been, what you're familiar with, right? So he could cherry pick all them players, and obviously that escalated us. Emery, he's been at a couple of decent clubs. He obviously knows the Spanish league. He's obviously had a look at the the French league, but all these other teams, you know, if you can come, if you're playing in France and you got a chance to go to PSG or Arsenal, one, they're going to pay you more money or whatever you offer. Say you offer a young kid, well, we'll give you 60, 75 grand, whatever. And PSG, they can push the boat out. So they can throw 100 grand at him all day long. And that's where the problem is. You know, I think we was in for, you might laugh, but I think it's well known that Wenger tried to sign Mbappe last year. He ended up at PSG. There's a reason for that. It wasn't that he didn't like Arsene Wenger. It wasn't that he didn't like Arsenal Football Club. I think he'd mentioned that he liked Wenger and he liked the way Arsenal play, etc., etc. It was down to money. And all these top clubs, they've now got scouts and people all over the globe watching footballers. I watched the Man City, the Pep, on Netflix. They've got people, you know, all over Latin America waiting and just looking at young players and players that are coming through, and that costs a lot of money. It's not just only about you know, spending your 75, 100 million pound on a player that's you know 90% of the way there, you know, he's just at a different club. They're throwing money at these young kids now just to keep them on board, you know, just to get them on board early doors, and again to hoping they can come through. So it's very, very difficult. It's going to be difficult for us, Dave.
What about you, Simon? Because you're much closer to things than we are generally at the moment, and you will have a flavour of what's going on, press conferences and stuff like that. Where do you see us going?
I mean, the difficult thing for me is, obviously, you hear it saying, oh, there's no money to be spent, the club needs to be self-sufficient, and this idea of buying low and selling high. And then you have someone like Aaron Ramsey, who is seemingly going to let go for free when you could probably get a fee for him now, maybe in the region of £20 million. I think the issue being there that Arsenal value him at between 30 and 40 million, which is obviously a lot of money for someone with 6 months on his deal. And they're saying we'll get more value by having him for 6 months. But that for me is an indication of how they're trying to change the transfer model, obviously, with Raul Sinyali, Sven Mislintat, but we're still in this situation again where we've got a prized asset with 6 months to go who's not signed a contract and who has not been sold. And I still think there's a big, big long way to go for Arsenal in the transfer market to stop getting themselves in this situation, because as much as you know, Wenger used to go on about, oh, you know, this is the future, this is the way it will be with players running down contracts, I don't see any of the other top six clubs, even Tottenham, as much as we say about them, oh, you know, their players will leave. You don't see any Spurs players in this situation. Even Alderweireld, they've managed to extend that by a year. And admittedly, he's got release clause in it. But even then, they seem much more planned as what's going on. Whereas for me, the Ramsey situation just underlines how there's still a big issue in the transfers at Arsenal.
I think I'm not sure about that. I think Dembele, Moussa Dembele, the Tottenham player, isn't he looking to go to China?
Yeah, again, they're getting £11 million for someone with 6 months who's, you know, 31, 32. So
yeah.
But you know what is with Ramsey, I think you should be selling that asset personally.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. But you know, if the player wants to sit there, Simon, and see his contract out, there's not a lot you can do about it. People were saying everything about, oh, well, why didn't we, with the Sanchez debacle, oh, why didn't we throw 350 grand at him 2 years ago and he'd have stayed, blah, blah, blah. Well, no, mate, because he was offered 400 or 500 grand at Man City or Man United. That's the reason why. He could just sit out and see what happened, you know, and look what's happened to him. With regard to Rambo, to be honest with you, it doesn't really, it would be nice to get a few quid for him. But, you know, if he's going to go, he's going to go. Personally, he gets in the Arsenal team at the moment, but again, he's another player that I don't think we'd be winning leagues with. I really don't, honestly. No, you know, not a regular in the team, a good squad player, but I don't think he could command the midfield for a whole season and Arsenal going to win the Premier League. I think we could do better.
Fair enough. I think Ramsey is good enough to be in an Arsenal team winning the league. Personally, I think what he's done over the 10 years he's been at the club. I cannot see us getting, certainly in the current climate that we're shopping in, the current market that we're shopping in, I personally can't see us getting a better midfielder than that for the wage that he was supposedly demanding. I think you either keep him or sell him, and this situation where he's going for free for me feels like a throwback to the years gone by. I mean, Jeff, from what you've heard or from what you understand, do you see this as just him not wanting to be at the club not wanting him? What do you think?
I just think, obviously, he's been at the club a while now. I don't know, what was it, 10 years, is it? I don't know, 16, was he, 20, what, how old is he now, 26?
Been there 10 years, I think so.
10 years, yeah. I think it's a bit of both. I think the lad can see that we are obviously rebuilding. I think the lad realises that he's not going to get his 250, 300 grand or whatever he thinks that he's worth at Arsenal Football Club. And I think he's got an opportunity. If he can sit out for another 6 months, he can get that. Instead of Arsenal getting a £20 million transfer fee, he could mez that into his wages every single month. And that's where he can draw it. Wenger said it, and I've said it as well. I think that's the way a lot of these transfers are going to go now. You know, you'll have 3 and 4 years at a club, and then once you're coming, you just run your contract down, especially when you're coming into your last... last few years of your playing career. I mean, I know he's got a few years left. He left Bramby. He started very young. He was in the first team at 17, I think, wasn't he? So he's been playing a long while. There's only so many miles on the clock. And this might be his last big contract, if you get what I mean. He might get to 28 and 29 and drop off a cliff a little bit and start dropping down. But he's a good player. He's a good player, and he would get in at Arsenal's first team at the moment. But if we're going to improve, I think we need someone better. I really do, and it's a shame.
I think it's telling as well, the clubs that are in for him. I know they're smelling blood at the moment, but you look, and it's virtually the cream of Europe want to sign him. And like you say, they will end up paying the money themselves. It's just they'll be paying it to him instead of us.
Simon, do you reckon, listen, the clubs that are interested in him, in my opinion, they're interested in him because they know they've got that, all right, of course they've still got to pay for him, but they haven't got to play £30 million and still giving the 253 on the ground a week. They'd just be giving the 250 or 300,000 pound a week without giving that £30 million, you know? Do you think that if he had 18 months or two, I mean, we haven't seen it over the years, people coming in and offering big money for him. But do you think if he had 18 months on the contract, do you think these big teams would be coming into him and still be interested?
Well, it depends. I know the guys touched on it at the pod the other week. It depends whether you believe that Man United wanted to spend £50 million. And I do agree, there is a strong element of this whereby the clubs that are in for him, certainly Juventus, we know are one of the shrewdest in the transfer market, one of the best at getting a deal. And their viewpoint will be, well, we'll sign Aaron Ramsey for free. The worst case scenario, let's give him a 4-year deal. After 2 years, we could probably sell him for anything's a profit on that. You could sell him for £10 million, £15 million and you'll make a profit. I agree with your point that the worry would be, why has no one come in for him all over these years when he's been performing at Arsenal? But there was, when he had those fantastic seasons, 13, 14, when we went and won those FA Cups, he was linked with the likes of Barcelona, he was linked with the likes of Bayern Munich, and admittedly he's tailed off. But I think the clubs will have seen him and scouted him and think he's got enough to perform at this level, because as much as, he's a free transfer, he's still going to be being paid out a significant sum of money. I think the Juventus talk is that it's going to be about £180,000 a week, hefty signing on bonus. So it's still an outlay of cash, and they will think, this guy can come in and perform for us. And I personally will be intrigued to see whether at a different club, because we've only seen him at Cardiff at Arsenal, at a different club, whether he kicks on and becomes the player that I think 4 or 5 years ago, we really thought he was going to be.
Yeah, it's true.
And on a positive note, though, gents, just only about players leaving the club. on Denis Suárez, Dave, I know you touched on him and how he might be coming in. Have you seen much of him, heard much about him? Because he was someone who's been struggling at Barcelona. I know he came to City for a bit, but Emery obviously worked with him before. What are your thoughts on that, if we can get him in?
I'll be totally honest, I haven't seen him play this season. I know he's a versatile player who hasn't made it where they wanted him to play at Barca, which was more centrally. But he could play wide when he was with Unai Emery before. And that's an area where, without Danny Welbeck, who's not an out-and-out winger, but who gave us good width, and if Joe Willock isn't going to get an extended chance, then it's an area where I think he would give us the option of strengthening. You don't know until you get a player here. He's not played in the Premier League. He may take the 6 months to settle in that other players, good players before him, have done, like Dennis Bergkamp, Thierry Henry. They didn't hit the ground running. Robert Pires was petrified the first he saw of the Premier League at Sunderland. So he's no guarantee, but I do like the thinking that he's a player who could give us something different.
I haven't really seen anything of him, to be honest with you. So it's a little bit difficult. But, you know, did he come through La Masia?
Wasn't he, I think? Was he at Barca?
Yeah.
Let's give a Google. I know he went to... he was at Man City for a bit and then back to Barcelona and...
If he comes through Barcelona's obviously youth system, he's obviously going to be a footballer, isn't he? Which would suit us. But again, you've seen a couple of players that have come through from Barcelona who'd had decent runs in their team. A kid that went to Stoke and Everton, and they haven't really cut it. They haven't really set the world alight. So, but you don't know. Like these young kids, they come in. Again, if they can hit the ground running, get a couple of goals early doors, it takes the pressure off them. But again, the Premier League is a different animal. It's not like out in Spain where you get plenty of time on the ball, is it?
So he was at Celta Vigo, then he went to Man City as a kid, didn't get a kick, went to Barcelona. Then he was at Emery with on loan when he was at Sevilla, and by all accounts, you know, played over 30 games, did well. Then he was at Villarreal, and then Barcelona bought him back because they had a buyback for, I think it was 3 million euros, but they had to wait a year to sell him, which is why they're selling him now. But he's not really, other than that season at Sevilla and a bit of Villarreal, he's not really had a chance to properly showcase. And he's, you know, he's 25 years old. So
yeah, that's a bit of business for Barcelona, isn't it? They've obviously that contract where they could buy him back for whatever it was, that cheap amount of money, a couple of million euros. The 9 out of 10 times they're going to buy a player back, aren't they? Because they know they're going to make 10 or 12 or something million of him worthwhile, you know, in the current climate. So that doesn't really tell us a lot whether they rate him or not. It's maybe a bit of business. So we maybe have to be guarded by that, you know. So, you know, sometimes I would like us to dip into, I'm sure there's a players in the Championship that you might, young kids in the Championships that you'll get for a lot cheaper and maybe try and breed them and bring them through, you know.
Yeah.
And they're aware of the Premier League. They know about all the players. You know, sometimes when you'll buy a player from abroad and they're not taking in, they're just watching their leagues. They're not really watching the Premier League, you know, deep down. Sometimes I'm not sure them players they take a bit of time to settle in, don't they? Whereas players that are more familiar with the Premier League from a lower league, they might, you know, you might get a tune out of them.
All right, we'll do some listener questions in a couple of minutes, which Dave will do. But we'll finish, gents. Just final question. We'll start with you first, Dave. We're going to fast forward. It's February the 1st. What have Arsenal ended up with at the end of the window?
Hopefully a central defender. I mean, we were talking about Cahill. I would sooner have someone younger and a little bit more developed, but you know, if he's the best that's available, let's get him in if we can, because there's talk of him going to Fulham as well. But central defender first and foremost, a player who can give us a little bit of natural width second, and if Rambo goes, certainly someone who can do the who can play in the positions that he's asked to play. That would be for me.
And Jeff, what about you? What are you thinking February 1st? What are Arsenal going to have?
Again, we definitely need to strengthen the back four. We need a proper centre-half. Again, that's familiar with the Premier League. So there's got to be someone. Well, who's the kid at Leicester that plays for England last year in the World Cup and done very, very well?
Maguire. Slabby.
Yeah.
Cost a fortune. English premium.
Well,
United looking at him and he was 75 million quid in the summer asking price. I mean, that's
okay. Yeah,
level. I agree with you, Jeff. It's crazy that is.
It's just mad money, isn't it?
Bonkers, isn't it? I mean, Leicester City centre half, £75 million. I mean,
yeah. But if you listen, Arsenal would never have trouble scoring goals. We've said this for 5 years now. Arsenal have never had trouble scoring goals. They've always had enough players, quality players up top that could nick a goal. Mm-hmm. Our problem is defending. So if we spend the money on one or two proper defenders and stop leaking goals, right, where's that going to take you?
Yeah, bang on. For me, it would be the same as you guys. It has to be centre-half. I'm not so sure I would take Cahill, but it's going to have to be a loan, I think, that one. And then I would think the club will get the Suarez deal done by the sounds of it. The issue will be just whether they pay the 20 million now, or I think the club would rather do it, pay the 20 million at the end of the season, and then it goes towards the next season's accounts rather than paying it all now and get him on loan for 6 months.
I'm just so disappointed we haven't brought one through the ranks at Arsenal. You know, we've had plenty of time now, because we've been looking for defenders for 5 years, 6 years, haven't we? Really, two centre halves, proper central defenders, and we've been paying big money for them, Mustafi, and you know. Surely you've got to find one. You've got to, you know, the problem is, again, when you're top four, top five team and you're trying to look at them on as the silverware, I think they're sometimes scared of putting these young kids in and giving them a run, five, six, seven games, and see how they get on. Because if they make a ricket, you're out of competition straight away. Yeah. I think, and sometimes, and especially where Arsenal, you know, thinking about it, Emery, he's got a great chance to do that now. If you've got someone that's like doing well as a centre back, where does he play? I don't know how to pronounce it. Pregola, the Spanish
kid.
Pregozola, that's him, yeah. I mean, he looked at one of them Carabao Cup games. He looked decent. I don't think he's very tall, but he's very, very good on the ball and he's strong and he tackles very well. Why don't you give him a run in the team and see it? You know, there must be something there. There must be a player there that they can give him a go, because Omri can get a bye with it at the moment, you know?
I'll tell you the problem with that, Jeff, is they've had a lot of good young central defenders, but they all seem to be injury prone. The one I like in particular, Ben Sheaf, he's only played four games this season, and he spent some time at Stevenage on loan last season to toughen him up a wee bit. We're not getting the benefit of that. We saw the other lad, Zek Medley, come in for one of the European games, wasn't it? And he got 10 minutes on Sunday. And yes, he does look very composed. But again, young, a bit green maybe at this stage is what they're thinking.
Yeah.
The one who was the big loss was Christian Bielik. We paid pretty good money to bring him over from Poland.
Yeah.
But he put his shoulder out a couple of times and we've sent him out on loan to Charlton. But I haven't looked. I saw he was playing in midfield for him earlier in the season. So I don't know how much progress he's made and whether he's going to be a centre-half or not.
When he came in, Bielik, for them few games, it was League Cup games again, wasn't it, again? But he reminded me of a young Tony Adams. He really did. You know, the way he played the game. But he just disappeared into thin air, hasn't he? Which is a shame.
He was two and a half million as well, wasn't he? He weren't cheap. He's, you know, 2.5 million quid for someone who's 18 years old.
Is he still contracted to the club?
Yes, he's out on loan at Charlton. But he's, you know yourself, if you've had a couple of dislocated collarbones or shoulders, shoulders. I'm not sure which it was.
Yeah, but sometimes, sorry to cut across you, though. Sometimes you'll bring these players back, like we did with Coquelin that time. Everyone wrote him off, they sent him out on loan to Charlton. Come back from Charlton when we had nobody else. He only come back really because we was short of bodies. Yeah. And he come in and done a great job. They give him a specific job to do, and he done a great job. And so we turned him into half a decent player. Of course, you know, we needed better anyway. But why don't you give someone, because sometimes you do find them players and they hit a bit of form. And that's what I was saying about earlier on. Once they got their confidence, they're up there. They think, I can handle this. And then they mature into a proper player.
I'd rather give someone a chance, like a Mavropanos I'd rather give them a chance than get a Cahill in 6 months, personally.
Me too. Yeah, you're right. And you know, that's what I'm saying to you. I think Emery would get a pass. He'd get a buyer. I think you'd suffer it. All right, you know, he could come out and say, well, it's quite clear that I can't. A proper centre half now is going to cost you 75 million quid. The bar has been set with Van Dijk, isn't it? Right. So a proper centre half, if he's half decent and everyone fancies him, you've got to give that kind of money. I'd rather you try have a little go with one of them young kids and see how you get on with him.
Yeah. If I could have any centre half within a reasonable, not taking the piss in the summer, it would probably be Ake at Bournemouth. I think he's the one I've seen who I think would be.
Yeah. True. Very true. Job for us. There you go. That's what I'm saying to you. You can find them. You know what I mean? You can find them. But you want someone that, and again, it's not just down to the manager. I used to argue with people on Twitter about Wenger and the way he defends and everything else. Once these players cross that white line, they must take responsibility. The manager can't go on and play for them. And I say the same about Unai Emery. Some of our defending has been shocking these last few games. Mm-hmm. And it's about the players, about the quality on the pitch and smelling danger. So we need a proper defender. A defender, a footballer that is interested in only defending. Simple as that.
Okay.
Good. Right, Dave, you want to hit us with some listener questions then?
Yeah, let's start with you, Simon, because we need to get you more involved. Desertman79 says, how much money do we actually have available to spend this month? And is Denis Suarez close to joining Arsenal? Now, if anybody knows, that's you.
Well, in terms of the money available, I think that's been... We touched on that, and there's not... You know, masses of money available. There's more money in terms of the loan market. And I think, if Ramsey went, that money could instantly be reinvested. And the model is very much self-sufficient. So, you know, if money comes in, it can go out. But the wages certainly, I think, could be... there's money there in terms of if they wanted to loan someone, they could get someone in. So it's a loan market for a player. And as for Suarez... I'm not going to sit here and say I know what's going in, what's going out. But Sid Lowe, who you guys will know is probably one of the best, if not the best, Spanish football journalist, was saying that there's a strong possibility of it happening. Player wants to move, likes working with Unai Emery, and it's just a case of how Arsenal can structure that deal, which, given the money situation, looks like they want to do 6 month loan and then we'll give you the money at the end of the 6 months, whereas Barcelona want the money up front rather than waiting 6 months for it. So in terms of it being close, I wouldn't say it's close, but I think if they are going to get anyone in, that Suarez deal looks like the one that they can get done.
Okie dokie. Jeff, it's not a dissimilar theme, but Alonzo Spencer is saying, as an American gooner here in the States, I know that Stan Kroenke has plenty of money. So what's your opinion on why he sees Arsenal as a profit and why he doesn't take our concerns seriously?
It's just such a difficult one, isn't it? You know, why purchase a football club like Arsenal if you're not going to put some money in or make us more successful? Because it would be straight business. If you spend money and you bring success, you win a Premier League or you win a Champions League, that makes the club worth more money and your shares go up and your wealth is going to go up because of that. But I think, you know, the man's got so much money that it doesn't really bother him. It's like a hobby to him, it seems like, because he's not over here every week. He might come over twice a season just to see what's going on. And it is a shame. It's a shame. Unfortunately, all these chairmen now, they're not like the old school chairman where, you know, you handed it down through the family and stuff like that back in the day. All those, it's a proper big business now. And unfortunately, we've just drawn a short straw, it seems like, with Stan Kroenke, where he's just going to let us self-sustain. And it's going to be very difficult for us to win things, isn't it? You know, when you've got all them other clubs, simple as that.
I would say one thing, Alonso, in an answer to that. I think Stan Kroenke will want to hang on to the club for as long as it is registering a huge profit for him on the books, as it certainly is at the moment, because that helps him to finance other deals in the United States. He may not necessarily be pulling cash out of the club, although we think he possibly is. And I think we must find out by March, because I think we're due to publish something by March. But as long as we are a profitable investment for him, then he'll retain it. But as Jeff says, if it will not remain profitable if he allows it to slide. And that's the point at which people will want to get in and maybe sense a cut price deal from him. And that might be the time that we strike it lucky. We don't know. None of us knows. But I agree with Jeff. I don't think the guy is going to invest any of his own money at all. He's made his money out of basically buying land and building Walmart stores. And it's been a profitable deal for him. That's that. Anyway, Noir Confidential. So let's go back to you with this one. Is Kolasinac now our first choice left back, or do you see him as a wing back and think we still need to sign a proper left back in the summer?
Who was that, for me, Dave?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, you know what? I do think he's our first choice left back at the moment. And to be honest with you, I think he deserves it. I don't think he's going to be in an Arsenal team that wins the Premier League. He's another one that he switches off a little bit. He doesn't concentrate correctly. You can ghost him behind him if the ball's on the other side of the pitch, like from across and stuff like that. I think he's good on the ball. You know what? But mostly I like about him, though, he gives a bit of steel to the defence. He'll front up to anybody. He's like a bull in a china shop. He will go through them. He don't shirk a tackle. And if there's any sign of any trouble, mate, he's first in there. Now, we haven't seen that over the years with Wenger teams. You know, I think the Wenger teams, they was ordered not to get involved in any of that, all that shithousery, what we call it. Whereas Kolasinac, he's ready for it, you know. And yeah. I enjoy that. What Emery's done there, I'm enjoying seeing that again. You know, Arsenal are not the pushover like we were before, and all the boys are ready to get amongst it. And Kolasinac is one of those players that sometimes, you know, like all teams do have a player like that where they're not the best player in the football team. They know that they haven't got the best technique. They're not best technically gifted than the rest of them, but they make up for it in other areas, and Kolasinac is one of those.
Yeah, excellent viewpoint. Although I have to confess, I'm still a Nacho Monreal man, but he's not getting any younger, is he?
Yeah, his contract's up in the summer as well, so there's going to
be a shame. Okay, Simon, while you're there, who is this? It's My12N. Do Arsenal have any interest in Yannick Carrasco, a player who is currently plying his trade in China?
They certainly did. I think it was about sort of 18 months ago.
I think you're right.
And, you know, they were very keen on him. He obviously went to China largely for the money, as most players
do. Money. Again, it's money. We come back to money, isn't it?
But he seems to have been like a lot of people who go to China. They get there for, you know, a year or so and then realise, actually, this isn't where I want to be. I think they would assume they'd still be interested. Certainly the club were interested. Whether Emery is remains to be seen. The problem is there. He's going to have to take, you know, a massive, massive wage cut, which he might want to do to come back and play in Europe. It's quite possible. You know, he's not very old at all. Very, very good player. I loved him when he was at Atletico, you know, proper winger. Super, super quick, and would be exactly what we need. So I can understand the links there. Whether they firm up that interest remains to be seen. I tell you what, if you want anything related to this transfer or anything Belgium related, there's a guy on Twitter called Christophe Thoreau. He's a Belgian journalist, but he lives in England, covers English football, and he is anything with Belgian players. He is absolutely like ear to the ground. So he did tweet about Carrasco and said Arsenal were interested before, but he stressed the point saying Arsenal don't have that much money to spend, and it's basically going to be the wages and fee for someone like Carrasco probably makes it unlikely. So I would say they're interested, but I don't think they could get it done, really.
I love him, Carrasco. He's a top player. But again, it's another player that we don't really need, so to speak. We need a defender rather than a forward like that. But he is a top player. I think he's brilliant. I remember he ruined us. But didn't they do us 4-1 or 4-2 at our gaff in the Champions League a couple of years ago? Must have been three, four years ago. And it gave us too much to do when we went back to Monaco, went out there. But he was different class in the first leg and more or less won the game for him. Different class play, honestly. Very, very quick, great feet.
Okay, good stuff. I'll take the next one, if you don't mind, because it's touching on a place that we've already been twice. So, from RLF 86. Apparently, we have no money and need to follow the Borussia Dortmund method. But Arsene built his teams without external finances. So what's happened that we now need to follow another team's example and not use our own history as our model? My answer to that may not be popular, particularly given that I was such a Wenger supporter, but our history in the last 10 years is not a model that we should be looking to replicate. And there are reasons other than that. The reason that you want to follow Dortmund's example is that you want to better manage players' contracts so that you better manage the income from transferring them if you cannot get them to sign up. And you would sell them presumably with 2 years and not leave it to the last year of the contract, which is what's cost us. And hopefully we are able to, with Mislintat's help, find the young players that he found for Dortmund, develop them, improve their value at Arsenal, and then we'll be getting some money in to supplement the funds. We have, overriding that, this question mark about whether Stan is currently taking money out of the club as well, and that is what is stopping us from spending the cash reserves that have to be there. I hope that gives you a flavour of what we're thinking.
People are talking about this Dortmund method. I mean, it's all well and good taking on that Dortmund method, but Borussia Dortmund have the second choice of all the quality players in Germany. They most probably pay the second highest wages in Germany. If you transfer that to the Premier League at Arsenal are going to have fourth or fifth pick of all the top players. You've got City, Chelsea, Man United. You might even add Liverpool into that now, you know, with what they've done, although they haven't won fuck all. You get all these Kloppites. You get all these Kloppites, Arsenal Kloppites. They're all over me now because I've, you know. But again, you know, he still haven't won nothing yet. You know, he's been there 3 years now, hasn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
Is he in his fourth year now, Simon?
Klopp. Yeah. When did he come in? I think he came in... It was in the middle of the 2014-15 season, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Let's have a look.
Yeah, I think he's
October 2015 he came in. So mm-hmm. he's had 2.5 years there. So this is his third full season. Mm-hmm. So
interesting.
Okay, we've done that one. I'm going to stick with you, Jeff, if you don't mind. Nicky Wilson, good friend of the blog. Is Cesc Fabregas an Arsenal legend, and what makes you an Arsenal legend?
It's a good question, that. A very, very good question. I think Cesc Fabregas was one of the best midfield players Arsenal have ever had. And I've been watching Arsenal since 1971, so I've seen some decent midfield players. You know, we had him as a youngster, 16, I think. I think it was it a Rotherham or one of them teams when we beat him 5-1? I think he scored in his debut for Arsenal.
Yeah, I think it was Rotherham.
In a League Cup game, I remember I was sitting in a box in the Clock End at the time. And, you know, he carved out a really, really fantastic career at Arsenal and was part of some good sides. Unfortunately, he didn't really have the players around him. And then it's been blotted. His legendary status has been blotted by the way he left Arsenal Football Club, and unfortunately, you know, he went and played for Chelsea. If it was, if he'd have carried on playing abroad, then he might have, you know, it would have been liked a lot more than what he has. But unfortunately, when he went to Chelsea and started kissing the badge and stuff like that, there are a lot of footballers, a lot of football fans at Arsenal that they've lost touch with him. But no, I think he was a fantastic player at Arsenal. But I wouldn't give him that legendary status because of those reasons.
Contrast that with Henri. If Fabregas had done what Henri did and went to Barcelona, and then obviously no different ages, but Henri left Arsenal, went to Barcelona, and then went to the MLS for a bit, didn't it? It's, if Henri had gone to Chelsea or whatever after Barcelona, I think we'd be saying the same sort of thing.
Correct. But... yeah. Yeah, very true.
Fair point, that. Good stuff. Right, where are we? What's this one? Oh, yes. This is going to be you, Simon. Destructible Cake says, putting on your superstitious hats, are there any referees that you dread to see officiate an Arsenal game? I say this as I recently found out, we have one loss in 11 with Mike Dean officiating us. Good point.
Crikey. Yeah, I used to really not like Mike Dean refereeing Arsenal games. I think it was ever since that Spurs game that we lost, and that meme went round of him on Twitter where it looked like he was fist pumping after the goal.
Yeah.
I don't have it so much now with referees. It used to be Mike Dean always used to be the one. But now I'm not so... I mean, I don't find it as much of a big issue. Maybe Jeff will have one. But for me, it used to be Mike Dean. I used to always think, especially there was that Chelsea game. I think it was the one where Gabriel Paulista got sent off, and he was basically rucking with Diego Costa all game and getting wound up. But now I'm a bit more impartial.
Well, I see that stat in the box there. One loss in 11 with Mike Dean officiating. That I mean, that's brilliant, right? Because I remember, let's say, maybe out of 30 games that he's been in charge of Arsenal, the 30 previous to that, I think our win rate was like 40%, which was mad, considering all other referees and all other teams that we had played. But I'm glad that's changed around. But you know what? I can't remember one that has really driven me mad as much as Mike Dean over the years.
I'll tell you the other interesting thing about that statistic is, regardless of what we think of Mike Dean, and not a lot historically, but in the last 2-3 years, he has usually been involved in our games against the bigger teams. So he seems to be a regular for the Tottenham game. Got Chelsea. I think we've drawn with City with him refereeing. So, yeah, there's that surprising stat, but fair play. And from me, the referee hater in chief, I'll take me out off to him. Maybe we've made him positively discriminatory for us. Now, what's the next question? And that's got to be a Jeffrey one. Josh Robinson, 87, says, what's the biggest improvement you have seen this season? For me, it would be the amount of goals we are scoring again. You agree, Jeff?
You know what? I just think that first, when we went on that run of 22 unbeaten, I was maybe blinkered into thinking, you know what, he has tightened us up at the back and it was a great improvement. But the last three or four games that I've seen us play, and I think I'm not sure that there's been a great improvement from obviously Wenger last year. I know maybe the squad has come together. That they're all playing for each other. Maybe that is the only thing I can see as an improvement. You know, we've obviously improved a little bit on last season, but from previous seasons before that, I think we're very much the same.
I like what you said earlier about the shithousery. I think that's a definite area in
very
which
true.
We've improved.
Yeah, very true.
Okay, I'm going to skip the next question. Steve-O, I'm sorry, but we've done the money business to death, and much though I would like to see us crowdfund a signing through the Coinstar machine at Sainsbury's, I'm not altogether certain we're going to be overly successful in January with that. So thank you very much for the question, and maybe Danny will want to put that to the guys next week. Right.
Fives Forum.
Sorry?
Yeah, Fives Forum.
Fives Forum. You can do Fives Forum. Good man.
Yeah, I've got to be in charge of the Fives Forum this week. So the Fives Forum question is, how much belief do you have in transfer clickbait merchants and who are the worst? Now, you've got Berg Gunnar from Twitter. He says, no belief. Don't bother until it's announced. It's boring and tedious. Getting too old for transfer incitement now, unless we sign some big name, of course.
Good.
So I don't know. Is there any more than that? Okay. Nicky Wilson. Obviously, the tabloids like Sun and The Mirror are the worst for clickbait merchants, as they don't need any proof. But they do get told fake news by agents and who are trying to get their clients better contract. Twitter ITKs are also terrible. Also, how close is Lamar today? Carpenter out. Oh, that's obviously Dick for out. Yeah. Chris Carpenter. God bless him.
The pirate.
One more. Lord Hillwood, our great friend. Does Arsenal Nexus need help with tweeting transfer bollocks from his wife's maternity ward today? He's a boy, isn't he? He's a boy. I leave that one to you to decide.
Excellent.
Oh. I think that's us nearly done, isn't it?
Yeah, we'll just have our gentleman's nods to finish and then we're done. So I'll kick us off and then we'll go to you, Jeff, and we'll finish with you, Dave. My one goes to someone we all know on the pod, Gav at She Wore. My girlfriend bought one of his great clock end cocks for Christmas for me, and I managed to break
clock end what, mate?
One of the clock end clocks, you know, Gav makes them.
I think you've got to play that black. I think you said. I think you've got to play that back and see what comes out. I don't think your wife would be
hearing this silly old, sod. Put your ear in,
that was a perfect.
I thought she bought a cock there for a moment. I think that's what you said.
That's what she wanted anyway.
No,
he bought one of the clock end clocks, and I managed to break one of the hands the other day. And Gav very kindly has already sent me out a repair in the post, no charge. Just an example of how good a shop he's run. So go check him out. He's done a lot for the pod over the years and tons of good stuff on there. I know the watches he's got on there have all sold out. So actually wore on Twitter and go give it a look. Jeff, your gentleman's nod.
My gentleman's nod goes to a guy called Mel O'Reilly 1970s on Twitter. He's just very dry and very, very funny. A long Arsenal fan, and he's you know what, he's quite funny amongst Twitter, where it does get a little bit drab sometimes.
And Dave, you to finish off, mate.
Okay, it's been an unfortunate week for one who so many of us know, and if I say at Gunnar Dave 66, you'll probably know that I'm referring to Dave Seeger, who lost his son Liam on New Year's Day. And Dave, you know that our thoughts of everybody at ABW and indeed the entire Arsenal Twitter are with you at this time. Take time with your family, come to terms with what's happened. And if you need any of us, mate, you know where we are. But the very best to you and the family in coming to terms with what's happened with Liam.
Well said, David.
Well said, Dave. And that is it for this week's show. The next ABW Live, which is after the West Ham game, that's the early kickoff on Saturday, will be with John Shredder and Josh. So tune in straight after full time to listen to those three guys go through the game. But that is it for a Bergkamp Wonderland. Good night and keep it Arsenal.
Oh, hoi, hoi, cheeky monkeys. And here's a little bit of shenanigans from before the podcast started.
You all right then, Simon?
Yeah, I'm good. How are you?
Fat, bald, not cold. Yeah, give it time.
See you nice Christmas.
Hello.
Jeff?
Yes, can you hear me?
How long have we been doing this?
Only about, I don't know, 15 years or something, is it? Feels like it.
We're coming up to our seventh year. Every time I say to you, don't invite us to your call, to join you for a call, because you've just invited Steve and Chris. Yeah. And then I'll get a call from Jason going, oh, what's happened? Why do you need me, Boyle?
I bet I got a right coat in there, didn't I? Offer you off. I bet I did.
I just went, oh, he keeps doing this.
Okay, I won't do that anymore. What do I do? Just let you know that I'm... Yeah, sit tight. All right, cool. No problem.
Just cross your legs and...
David.
Ah, last.
David, how the devil are you?
Well, I'm a bit vexed because this here Skype has crashed on me 3 times already.
Not tonight?
Yeah. Because I always test it half an hour before we come online.
It's a bit cold outside. You've got to put a coat around it, Dave.
Give it a tickle and a hot coffee.
Yeah,
that's it.
So if I vanish all of a sudden, I'm sorry.
No, you'll be all right. Who else we got on with us? Collings?
Yeah.
I'm here. How you doing, Simon? You all right? You good?
I'm good, mate. How are you?
Yeah, bang on, mate. Thank you, Simon.
It's been a while since we've done one.
Yeah, it is. I haven't been on it for a while, full stop. Looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Are you partaking, Dan, or are you?
No.
You just.
No, it's I found it works better when there's 3 people. So Simon will open it. David, if I give you the listeners' questions, you can hand them out. And then Jeff, you can do the 5 forum. So far, there's one answer that won't take you very long.
How'd you do that? How'd you do the 5 forum? What'd you do again?
What I do?
I just read it.
If I put a have you got your message box open?
I have indeed. Yeah.
Right. When it comes to the time, I'll put that in there, and you just read out this week's 5 forum question is, and then you read that out, and then below it will say at Berguna. That's his answer. And I'll do the same for you, David, with the questions.
Just read it out, yeah?
Yeah.
That's all I do. Okay, cool. Okay. No problem.
So at the moment, we've only got one answer.
All right, cool. No problem.
There's another question from
Nicky Wilson. Have you tweeted it? Shall I tweet it?
Yeah, you can retweet it, yeah.
Luke in the book. Hold on a minute.
So I'm just doing another question.
I've retweeted all 3 of them.
You're getting desperate, Dave.
You've murdered them tonight, haven't you? You've absolutely murdered them.
What do you mean by that?
Absolutely mullering, taking over Twitter, you are.
You would know when everyone's ignoring it. It's a disaster. Well, we've only got the Blackpool game to talk about. So, no doubt, Simon will get you two to talk about stuff that's happened during the season and what your thoughts are and transfers and all that other stuff.
What do you guys want to talk about? We'll do a bit on Blackpool, and then what do we want to talk about?
Just have a ramble on maybe the first end of year, so to speak. Maybe we can just talk about anything, can't we? Just sling a few players in there. We'll talk about how our defending's been and, run with it.
Hang on, we ain't got that long.
Oh, that's short. The shit. Oh, we're getting some answers in now. Jolly good. I shall keep doing these as the show goes on because we won't get to the listeners' questions bit until about 45 minutes. Maybe 50 minutes. So hopefully we get done in an hour and a quarter. So then we will be done by 9 o'clock. That's the aim. Simon, if we can try and be done by 9 o'clock, because we don't want David getting ground. Yeah, don't David getting ground again.
Just keep nudging us if we're dragging on.
Right. So everything's recording. Simon, when you do the intro it however you want, and outro it however you want, and then if you mess up, just give it about 2 second gap so I can see it, and then start again. So
good.
Coming up to 7 minutes of recording. Show start 7. Whenever you're ready. I'm just going to put myself on mute. Go.
Hello and welcome to.
And here's some more shenanigans after the podcast ended.
Good night and keep it Arsenal.
You got to do the get down, dog.
Get down, dog.
That was enjoyable. Well done, boys.
That was magnificent. That's flawless. Stuff. You lot are brilliant.
Well done.
I think it was the professional hosting that did it.
It was. It was very good. Very good. Very good.
He's too good at everything.
Well done.
Excellent. All right. Not even 9 o'clock, and you two can go, or you can all go.
I know. It's amazing. Well done. Listen, God bless you, boys. It's great to speak to you again. Yeah.
Get you on in 2 or 3 weeks' time again.
Yeah. Ready when you are, mate. No problem.
Lovely. Cheers.
Thank you. Bye, mate. Bye, bye.
Thanks.
Good luck, guys. Bye, bye.
Ta-da.